Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation this morning is from 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22, and we'll begin at verse 1. Story of Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary, Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrusted to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple. And have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also have them purchase timber and dress stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them because they are honest in their dealings." Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors of the temple." Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, "Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. And dropping down to chapter 23, verse 1. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people, from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. This is the word of our God. A train was about to leave the railroad station, and so the conductor began taking tickets. And looking at the first, ticket of the first passenger, he remarked, "Sir, I believe that you are on the wrong train." Now the man was taken aback, and he said, "Well, the ticket agent told me that this was my train." After some discussion, the conductor decided to go and speak with the ticket agent about it. And when he did so, he discovered that he, the conductor, was the one who was on the wrong train. The story of the Reformation really begins with the conductor on the wrong train. The spiritual leaders of the people were on the wrong train. They were leading God's people down the wrong track. And then one day, a man by the name of Martin Luther takes a good look around and realizes the train is headed in the wrong direction. And from that moment on, it becomes his life goal to get the train back on the right track. Josiah was also a man whose life was all about getting the church back on the right track. As a kid, I remember being amazed at the account of Josiah. Amazed, yes, because a kid my age had become king. But also intrigued. As Josiah repaired and cleaned out the temple, he discovered a treasure. I couldn't help but wonder what kind of treasure I might discover if I actually cleaned my room. But seriously, don't you think it's bizarre that the church leaders had lost the Bible in the temple, in their church? Hello, this is a pretty important book, isn't it? And you've misplaced it? Wait, you weren't even looking for it? You discovered it by accident? How does that happen? How do God's people lose the Bible? Now, granted, there weren't a lot of Bibles around in Josiah's day. Each copy had to be painstakingly handwritten. Nevertheless, check it out. Take a look at these passages. In the law, God had specified clearly that a copy of the Book of the Covenant was to be kept in the temple at all times. Look at the next passage. That book was supposed to be read in an assembly publicly of all the people at least once every 7 years, the year of Jubilee. And not only that, the king was also supposed to have his own personal copy of the Book of the Law to guide him in his leadership. God had made plenty of provisions to safeguard and protect his word. So what happened? A little history lesson sheds some light. You see, Josiah's granddaddy, Manasseh, was king over Judah for 55 years. Now, that's a long time to influence a nation. And his reign of terror, as it came to be called, is recorded for us just one chapter earlier in 2 Kings 21. And let's take a look at that. 2 Kings 21, beginning at verse 2. And there we read, "He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places of his father Hezekiah, that his father Hezekiah had destroyed. He also erected altars to Baal and made an Asherah pole, as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshiped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, 'In Jerusalem I will put my name.' In the two courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his own son in the fire, practiced divination, sought omens, consulted mediums and spirits. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger." Amon, Josiah's father, followed in his father's footsteps. He was assassinated after 2 years in office. Someone had had enough. Josiah was king at 8 years old. Josiah inherited an ugly spiritual legacy. Yet the truth is, the people hadn't really lost the Bible. Their spiritual and national leader had despised, ignored, and basically done everything he could to wipe out any influence God's word had on his people. He had chosen to get on the wrong train, and he dragged all of Israel right along with him. But it's not an isolated event. This is a story that keeps repeating. In Luther's day, there were plenty of Bibles. But the church leaders had decided that the Bible was a dangerous book. Reading the Bible, well, it couldn't be done by just anyone. It had to be interpreted by the clergy. It had to be interpreted correctly. So they prohibited the Bible from being translated into the common language. Now, it seems bizarre to us because God had said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path," right? How could suddenly it be so dangerous? But that's not the worst of it. Even though the church gave the impression that the Bible was the foundation of all Christian faith, in reality, it was not the final authority. The final authority in all spiritual matters was the decisions of the church councils, the clergy, men who had risen in the ranks in the church. What they said overshadowed and at times even canceled out what God's word said. It was no longer scripture alone that determined what the church taught and believed, but it was man's ideas that were the final judge and jury. How does the church lose God's word? Lose isn't quite the right word, is it? God's people make choices that have profound repercussions. In Josiah's day, God's people chose to ignore the word of God, make up their own religion. In medieval times, the church leaders mixed in some of their own ideas, took out things from the Bible that made them uncomfortable. But either way, in the end, it's no longer Scripture alone, the Word of God, who does not lie, but it is man's ever-changing, almost always mistaken, and as Luther said, frequently contradictory ideas that shaped our beliefs. Now, this happened over and over again throughout history. It still happens today, and you know why? Because this is the devil's big play, isn't it? He couldn't stop God's salvation, the Savior, and so he's going to attack the one thing that connects us to Jesus, the Word of God. Tempt men to destroy, discredit, to change, to empty the Word of God of its true meaning, and sooner or later, to all extents and purposes, the Bible is lost. And the church doesn't even realize it. Remember, Satan is a liar, right? Scripture says he's a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan is incredibly tricksy, huh? He has found a million ways to get God's people off the Scripture alone train. Think of all the different denominations. He has an angle to trip up every single one of us. For Lutherans, I believe he tries to get us with a false sense of security. You went to Sunday school. You were confirmed. You know everything you need to know. And then he bombards the 14-year-old knowledge of the Bible we have with a world of influences that confuse, drown out, and pretty much erase what little we actually do remember. But what's the worry, he says? You belong to the right church. That will guarantee you're on the right train. Never mind that the church can't believe for us. Never mind the history lesson of how often the church has gone astray. But Satan doesn't even stop there. He says, look around. This dusty old book you have here, it's just not relevant for our modern world. The morality that it holds out is obviously outdated, embarrassing even. The world has changed. You cannot live by Scripture alone. And you're going to hold up this old dusty book to science? The greatest minds of our world today? Human wisdom has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Bible's version of creation just doesn't match the facts. Are you really going to hold on to ignorant fairy tales? How fortified are we against these kinds of attacks? Scripture alone means Scripture alone. How well do we know the Scripture? How many of us here have even read the entire Bible? And if so, when's the last time? How are we going to know if we're on the right train, the Scripture alone train, if the Scripture isn't as familiar to us as our job, our home, as the ones we love? Well, what do we really lose anyways when we lose Scripture alone? No big deal, right? That's one of Satan's other lies. Because what do we lose when we lose Scripture alone? One word. We lose Jesus. The Scripture alone train has one destination. It is the truth about God's saving love in Jesus. The Bible is focused on, centered. It's all about the one truth that matters more than any other, the truth that God still loves this lost and dying world, that God sent his Son to die and rise again, that anyone, that everyone who believes on the rescue that he won for us has eternal life. You lose Scripture alone, and sooner or later, you're going to lose, we're going to lose our hold on that truth. And then we lose our sanity. What do I mean by that? Before Josiah found the book of the law in the temple, when the people were struggling or in some kind of trouble, they prayed to images that they had carved themselves out of wood and stone. They prayed to the stars and the moon and the sun, thinking that these things could hear and help them. They actually believed that if they slept with temple prostitutes, that would encourage the gods to make their lands more fertile. And when their requests and the blessings they were looking for never came, they convinced themselves that if they sacrificed their own children in the fire, then the gods would love them more. These, of course, were unenlightened, uneducated people. We would never do anything like that. We would never put our trust in and worship the things of this world. We would never live and work as though our future and our happiness depended solely on our efforts, and we certainly would never sacrifice our own children to the gods of money and success. That is insane. Yes, it is. For much of his life, Luther only knew an angry God, a God who demanded a perfection that he simply could not attain. Luther longed to have a relationship with his Creator, to be able to talk to God without fear, to know that God loved him. But instead, Luther found himself angry with God, bitter. And how many Christians today still do not understand, comprehend the love, the grace, and the forgiveness of God? How many Christians feel that the Word of God is meant solely to show us what we need to do to make this angry God happy again? And how many of us here struggle with feelings of guilt and fear and shame because we don't know how to personally apply God's love and grace to our own lives? What do we lose when we lose Scripture alone? We lose a gracious and forgiving God. We lose the comfort of knowing that a God who loves us is watching over and guiding our lives. Religion becomes oppressive, just another way in which we cannot measure up. What do we lose? Just ask Luther. We lose everything. We cannot lose Scripture alone. Throughout this series, we've been talking about the celebration of the Reformation. It's not just about history. It's about now and our constant need for reformation in our own lives. Josiah's story was a story of reformation. Amazing. I mean, how does a kid coming from that kind of a spiritual legacy end up a king who does what is right in the eyes of the Lord? Obviously, there was another legacy at work in Josiah's life. Was it his mother? Was it his teachers? Someone loved the Word of God, was on the right train, that Scripture alone train, and loved Josiah enough to get him on board. In his grace, God allowed Josiah to rediscover the truth of the Scripture. That truth, it was hard to hear. God's people had forsaken the Lord. Terrible judgment was on its way. But the truth had already touched and changed Josiah's heart. Josiah's heart was soft. It broke when he heard the message of God's law. You know, in the intervening verses between these two lessons, God promises Josiah, because his heart was soft, that he would not send this terrible judgment until after Josiah's death. Now, Josiah could have responded and said, I got out of that one. And then put up his feet and said, I'm just going to coast on out of here. But Josiah was on the scripture alone train. Josiah knew the truth that God is mercy, that God is love. And so Josiah poured all his energy into helping God's people see and understand the truth of God's law and God's gospel. He was going to get as many people as possible back on the right train. Who knows? Perhaps God would have mercy and not bring that judgment. God used Luther's soul struggles to drive him deeper into the Word. And as Luther wrestled with the Bible, Luther finally found the God he was looking for. A tender father's heart. A God who loved him so much that he sent his son to do for Luther what Luther couldn't do for himself. Luther found the real Jesus, whose commands are not burdensome, but are a beautiful guide for gratefully living in line with God's design. In Jesus, Luther finally found the honest desire and the ability to do what he always was searching to do, to live by God's commands. And he found forgiveness when he didn't. Luther's life experience taught him how vital it was to be on and remain on that scripture alone train, to have Jesus as the center, the focus, and the final destination. Luther knew how dark life was when he was on the wrong train. And so for Luther, too, it became imperative that he help everyone else get on the right train. And that's why he undertook one of the greatest and most difficult projects imaginable. He set out to translate the entire scripture into the German language so the people could read the word themselves. Luther taught, Luther wrote, Luther preached the word of God. He wrote that pure word of God into his hymns so the people could sing that word. He did anything and everything he could to get the church back on the right track. The truth came to light, and that truth changed the church, and it changed the world. Now, that was 500 years ago. Luther is long dead, and Satan has certainly been busy. Scripture alone, my friends, is not a gift guaranteed. Just because you were confirmed, just because you believe the truth, doesn't mean you will always believe the truth. It doesn't guarantee that your children will believe the truth. And what about all the people in this world who still don't have a clue, who are still on the wrong train? Every generation and every individual needs to reclaim the truth for himself or herself. We need to hold on to Scripture alone as though our life and eternity depended on it, because it does. Each of us needs to figure out exactly what that looks like in our own life. But one thing I know it doesn't look like: status quo, hope for the best. Like Luther, God make us willing to die rather than to give even an inch. After Jesus, may reading, learning, understanding the scriptures be our first and greatest love. And finally, with Luther, may we boldly and patiently and lovingly proclaim the truths that we find in that word, helping as many people as possible get on and stay on the right train. Here we stand. We can do no other. God help us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue now with the offering.